Those are interesting scriptures that Bracken read, and this is sort of a mirror of those scriptures, and this is from John chapter 16. Just talking about some practical aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It was the Holy Spirit who made real Jesus' union with the Father. When Jesus said that he was in the Father and the Father was in him, there's this reciprocal union, this commingling. So that the Father, he said in verse 10 of chapter 14, it's the Father doing the works through me. It's the Holy Spirit that makes our union with Christ real, because I'm in him and he's in me, and the Holy Spirit's that dynamic that makes that commingling, that reciprocal union real. I shared last night that this union is so awesome because in it, Jesus gives everything, all that he is and all that he has, but he also takes everything, all that I am, all that I have, including my dreams, my life, everything, including my brokenness and sinfulness. It's called the Great Exchange. And when Jesus refers to a number of times in the Upper Room Discourse, because I go to the Father, or on that day, he's talking about Pentecost. And because on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be poured out and the people would be filled with the Spirit collectively, so that when Jesus could say, cheer up, even though I've told you I'm going to go away, it's going to be better that I go away, because if I go away, on that day I will come back to live in you by the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter 16, he references the Helper in verse 7, and he says this, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. Isn't that interesting? He'll convict righteousness once he's poured out the Holy Spirit. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And I have many more things to say to you. You cannot hear them or bear them now. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said he did nothing? He didn't even speak anything on his own initiative, but he spoke what he heard. He did those things he saw the Father doing, said those things he saw. How, as the Son of Man, did he know all those things? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he will take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he'll take what's mine and manifest it or disclose it to you. A little while, and you will no longer behold me. And again, in a little while, you will see me. And some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while, and you will not behold me. And again, in a little while, you will see me. And because I go to the Father. And they were saying, what is this he says, a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. And Jesus said, knowing what they were asking, he said to them, Are you deliberating together about this? That I said, a little while, you'll not behold me. And again, in a little while, you'll see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice at his crucifixion. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore you too, now you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy ever. And then he goes on, and in that day, speaking about Pentecost. There are several things that he says here about the Holy Spirit's ministry, making real in us our union with Christ. He says that, we've talked about this before, he convicts the world of sin, but he doesn't say his primary ministry is to convict Christians of sin. He convicts us of righteousness because he went to the Father. Because he went to the Father, and I now have the Holy Spirit, which makes me one with Christ, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So the Holy Spirit's primary role is to convict Christians of righteousness. That always carries hope. Now, in the process of convicting a person of righteousness, he does expose sin. See, when the enemy speaks to us about our sin, it always leaves us depressed and hopeless and full of condemnation. When God shows us our sin, then he speaks and convinces us of the righteousness of God in Christ that we carry. that the righteousness of Christ is my free gift, according to Romans 5. And therefore, I don't have to live in this sin, which is causes emotional and spiritual death. He convicts me of righteousness. Remember, we've said this lately, that Christianity is not a set of principles. Christianity is a person, Jesus, who lives a principled life. And whenever the Holy Spirit convicts me of righteousness, he'll show me the nonsense that's costing me. But then he'll convince me of the person who is righteous, who lives in me, who's prepared as a free gift to live his righteous life through me. The other thing it says about the Holy Spirit's practical ministry, it says in verse 13, that when he comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. The Holy Spirit reveals to me the mind of Christ so that I don't live my life trying to make decisions. Instead, I can live my life obeying instructions. That's a lot less stressful. We have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit opens that up to us. That's how Jesus lived. Listen to what it says in chapter 5 of John about Jesus, his relationship with the Father. Jesus answered and said, he was saying repeatedly this to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing." Now, the Scripture makes really clear in the Upper Room Discourse that Jesus, the Father, love you as much as they love each other. And because of the Father's love, if he always discloses to Jesus what he's doing, then I can trust the Holy Spirit will always reveal to me what Jesus is up to. If I'll just wait on the Lord, I have a listening heart. Now, if I don't, what happens? He'll come back and convict me of righteousness. You blew it. Now get up and start walking it out again, appropriating my life. Verse 30 says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not speak on my own initiative, but the will of him who sent me." He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. That's awesome. I don't have to live guessing. I don't have to make it super spiritual or super mystical either. Just do what's next, trusting it's him. I mean, if you have a to-do list, trust the to-do list is his. But it's his list, so he can interrupt the to-do list, right, and add to it or subtract anything he wants. He'll reveal you to what's to come. Just live your life, abiding in him. And if you mess up, he doesn't throw you out. He convicts you of righteousness so you can get up and go on. And the Holy Spirit will reveal you the mind of Christ and reveal to you what is to come. That's what Jesus said. The Father shows me what to do. I always know what he's doing. Jesus says he'll always let us know what he's doing. The Holy Spirit will. He doesn't say to these baby Christians who are only 3.5 years old and following him, who've not yet been permanently filled with the Holy Spirit, that when you get mature enough, when you've gone to enough charismatic conferences, when you've bounced off the floor and spun around in circles enough, when you get to your 60s or so, he didn't say that. It's just normal, run-of-the-mill, brown-bag Christianity. We're the ones who make it so flipping hard. And then he says, the other thing he'll do, he'll convict me of righteousness, reveal the mind of Christ to me, always show me what Jesus is doing and up to in my life so I can just participate in union. Obedience is just participating in my union with Christ. If he's moving in that direction, I don't want to move in that direction, right? That would be sort of out of sync. I'm the body of Christ, so the body better be going where the head's saying. And then it says this, he will glorify me, he will take what's mine and disclose it to you. That sounds like a lot. And he defines what it is. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Wow. He will unpack everything that's mine, which is everything that belongs to the Father, to you. Because you have been blessed. Not could get blessed, might be blessed. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And the Holy Spirit's the one who helps unpack all that. Now, is there a growing in that? Yes. There's a growing in discovery. I don't know if we could handle all the discovery at one time, but you didn't earn it. You didn't get it. You didn't work for it. You don't deserve it. It's part of the deal. Came with the package. That's just us. I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, I was 25 years old when I first discovered that Christ alone could live the Christian life. When I first discovered what it meant to be in Christ. And 43 years later, I'm more giddy about it now and learning more about it now than I ever have. because his riches are what? Unsearchable. No wonder he says to the disciples who were sorrowing about his crucifixion, but I will see you again at Pentecost. I'll be living in you then, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes away your joy from you. That's the normal Christian life. No one can take that away from you. No matter what you lose, no matter what the enemy does, that no one can take away from you. The reality that Christ lives in me, in the fullness of all that he is, and I get to participate in what he's doing, what he's saying. I can add my voice to what he's saying. We live in amazing union. No one. If you get that, people can do a lot of things to you. This world can do a lot of things to you, but they can't ever take that away. That one always bobs to the top. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.